Hello, hello. Major Tom? Ground control to Major Tom? Yeah. This is like the most I've had. This is crazy. Like, I'm excited. There's actual people here. Usually I go streams, kids is dismissed, and there's like crickets that are sitting in the chairs. This is not normal. I'm not used to this. I might have a little stage fright. You guys are giving me the jitters. Joking, joking. I primed Ken earlier. Oh, jeez. All right. So, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you that we are just gathered here in the midst to just hear what it is you have to say today, God. These are not my words. These are your words, God. I ask, Lord, that you would just anoint everything I have here today, God, my presentation, my lips, my tongue, that everything would find fertile soil in the hearts of your people today, God, and that it would do what it's set out to do, that your word will accomplish everything it is set out to do today, God. Just continue to soften our hearts and prepare us, God, for what it is you want to accomplish in our lives. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Awesome. We are on the trail end of our journey together in this mission holiness. And I am excited to hear what everybody's going to say after we're done today. It's like that surprise box. Or what do they call those things? Like you can order them online now. You get like that, like, tote or whatever, and it's random and you don't know what's inside of it. Yeah. You don't know what you're going to get today. You guys have no idea what you're going to get today, but I'm excited to see all the, like, the reactions that happen. It's going to be fun. So, remember we started this whole journey on this concept of, like, the Mission Impossible, and, you know, I was going to have Sean up here play the theme. And, holiness was originally given to us in the scriptures where God said, be holy for I am holy. And that's not a suggestion, that was a command. And so when God gives commands, we kind of have to take up to know that he is very serious about the commands that he gives. And he expects that to happen. Right? Amen? So when we get this mission from God, we should take it very seriously. All right? And now we've gone through a bunch of different steps, and now we should understand from last Sunday that our ability to be holy is provided through righteousness, right? That gives us the ability, and it's not my righteousness, but it's whose righteousness? Jesus' righteousness, right? Okay? So, if we kind of take a little bit of a visual, like, mind journey thing, where we kind of, like, you know, imagine ourselves in places, think of this as your special agent, okay? I don't remember what the guy's name in Mission Impossible was. Tom Cruise, whatever. We have a dossier on each and every one of us, and it actually outlines our qualifications. And if you've seen the Mission Impossibles, he had like the little tablet that had all the other agents that he was picking, and it told him what their specialties were. I'm like talking about the first one, you know, not the other ones. I don't know what those other ones were about. And If you take that into consideration, we have gone through all of those things, right? We talked about our moral character. We talked about the supplies that we actually have. And now we just found out that we're signed off. That signature is the righteousness, right? You've been approved by the agency to be holy. You have everything you need. Now we can get to the actual mission. To do this, a team must be assembled. A team must be assembled. I know it sounds like the Avengers and it's cheesy, but hey, it's true. Okay? There's a couple parts to that team. Okay? A team doesn't operate on its own. It doesn't just operate on its own free will. There's a key person, right? There's always a key person that everybody reports to, right? A leader, somebody who's in charge of the operation. Okay? So we have a team, and then that person is also integral and part of that team. Okay? So we're held accountable. And the reason is because this mission of holiness, if you thought at the beginning of this adventure that you could do this solo, you are wrong. Because it is not a solo operation. God didn't intend, when he gave the command to be holy for I am holy, that meant you singularly by yourself have to be holy for he is holy. That was a open command to all. To all. So that's not a, he didn't say, you know, in the Bible you read it and goes, I'm just going to pick on you because you're here. Irene, be holy. Because if Yinevi, he did that, I don't know how many Irenes there are in the world. I know one, but I don't know how many other Irenes in the world, but you're still not alone. It'd be very hard for him to specify, you know, with all detail, maybe a social security number or something, you know, he could write in the Bible that would say it's just you, nobody else. But it's not, it's for everybody. So we're going to assemble today. We're going to assemble and we are going to finalize this mission and we're going to seek out to complete it together as a team. Amen? Amen. Go ahead, Dill, if you could. You get, awesome, you got the right version. 2 Corinthians, we're going to just start with 6 through 11, okay? Or 6:11 through 13. Now, this is out of the Amplified Version, so you can read your version, but there's a reason why I picked this version, and you'll understand very briefly. Our mouth is open to you, Corinthians. We are hiding nothing, keeping nothing back, and our heart is expanded wide for you. There is no lack of room for you in our hearts, but you lack room in your own affections for us. By way of return, then, do this for me. I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also to us. And we're going to stop there, Dill. You can just stay there for a minute. We're talking to the Corinthians. Now, this is an address, okay? And in an address, when an address is made, is it made to one person? No. They're called all to come and gather so that one person will speak and everybody will hear. Like today. You all are gathered. You've assembled here. And now I'm going to make an address. And you can listen. But here's the cool thing. He made it personal. He made it very personal in his address. He wasn't addressing a universal location. He was addressing these individuals that were right here in front of him at this moment. These people who were reading this or being read to this, this was for them specifically. So, this is personal. That's key. Okay? The next note you can take from this is that there is a genuine care for them. There's a genuine care here. It is not just harsh instructions, correction, beatings will be made until morale improves. No. There's genuine care, right? Because it says, our heart is expanded wide for you. There is an abundance of care and compassion. What is this actually on paper, here today. What is this called? I will tell you. This is called discipleship. What this is actual discipleship. What is happening right here is an addressment to be discipled. They're being called out. Why? Well, because if you go down a little bit further, it says, but you lack room in your own affections for us. Now that doesn't mean that they're not welcoming or they're not loving or caring. No, it means that there's wrong heart attitudes. There's wrong things. There's wrong thinking. There's things that are not correct. And he's addressing that right in front of them. And his only request that he made was by way of return, then do this for me. And he's speaking to them as children, okay, which is what you correct. You correct children. Open wide your hearts also. What does that all look like? The point of this whole process right here in the front is we have an objective. We have an objective to be holy, right? We've committed to this journey now. We're here. We're going, okay, we're going to do this. Great. How is this going to happen? You have to be open. It will not happen if you're not open, if you're not receptive. But you also have to be submitted to authority. in the process of discipleship, if you're not submitted to that authority over you, you will not change, because you are now going rogue. You are operating in this mission solo. You think you can do it better. Side note, that also means that your heart is not open to the person who wants to pour out. Now, do you think, going back and looking at this address, do you think he's sitting there going, man, those Corinthians, they're all messed up. I gotta go tell them about themselves so they can feel miserable. You really think that's what his goal was? No. That's clearly not the motivation. What's the motivation? What's the motivation? You can clearly tell it's not, because he's already set the example. Whose heart's open? His heart is open. Right? The disciples' hearts were open to them. When they were there, they showed. They led by example. We are here for you. We care genuinely for you, all of you. Nobody's singled out. Nobody's missing here. We love and care for all of you. Why? Because Jesus loves and cares for all of you. And we're no different than he is. So we're here today to express that love and concern. Now we hear report, oh wait, stuff isn't going on. Why? Because there's some lack. So here I am today to remind you, we were here for you. We're open to you. We are willing to go and do whatever it is you need done. We are a trustworthy source. Do you trust us? Ruh-roh. Do you? Go on. Keep going, Dill. So continuing on, 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial, or the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? You got one more? 18? And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Thank you. And can you go back to the other ones, though? Because there's a lot here, and we're going to go in head first. Oh, there was more. I'm sorry. Thank you. I thought that was an odd end. I'm like, 18, wait a minute. For what agreement can there be between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in and with and among them, and I will walk in and with and among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So come out from among unbelievers, and sever yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor, 18. So we can complete it. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Thank you. That was awful, and I didn't recognize it. So shame on me. I should type it out on my notes, but I trust the hands that be. So, all right. All that preamble that he gave to present his trustworthiness, his concern, right? Did he bring this out first? No. He made a very, very clear statement at the very beginning. Our hearts are open to you. We genuinely care. We want the best for you. But there's some concern. Our concern is that you don't feel the same towards us. There's something amiss. There's something wrong. So I'm going to speak to you as children. And I wish there was like some parents here, right, that can understand where I'm coming from. When you have children and you talk to them, you address them differently than you do adults, do you not? Right? So here's the address. This can seem really tough, but there's a reason why this came out. Do you think it was just random thought of the day? Yeah, we're going to talk about this today, Corinthians. No, that's not it. This was actually transpiring and going on. In Corinth, this was what was going on. And so he had a problem with it. The reason why is because there was a deterrent. There was something that was keeping them from being holy. What was keeping them from being holy? They were being unequally yoked with those who did not believe. And now that just, you read that in any other version, it keeps it very plain and simple. But the reason why I wanted to go there with the Amplified version is because there is some really good meat here. Do not make mismated, I think it's supposed to be mismatched, but mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them inconsistent with your faith. The reason is because if you're here and they're here, we did it. There was a teaching that pastor did a long, long time ago about you being on a chair and you're standing on a chair and you're trying to help somebody who's down low. Who's got leverage? The one on the ground does, because you have to pull all of their weight up. They don't have to do much to pull you down. They just do one tug. Whoop, you're on the ground. If you're equal and on the same playing field, this is okay. This is not okay because this leads to you coming down every time, no matter what. It's not God's law. It's called physics. There's a law of gravity that will make you go from here to here. You got to change your plane. Okay? So they're addressed to this, and there's a reason why this is happening. Not that. He's giving them this instruction, and he's doing this for a very strong purpose. There is a contaminant, and he's trying to address their awareness, their acumen, to the contaminant that is before them. Do people that are contaminated usually know they're contaminated? If you have some kind of disease going on in your body right now, unless you go get a blood test done, you might not ever know. You could live with it for the rest of your life, never knowing that you had some rare disease. A lot of people in the world live with things that they didn't know they had. Are they contaminated? In a really not cool way, yeah, they are. There's something foreign inside them that is not working with their body as it normally should. The purpose of the contaminations or contaminants are to always derail the process, the ebb and flow, the natural process that God intended. That's the whole reason. That's what a contaminant is. If you're not sure what a contaminant is, what's a contaminant? It is something that is defiling, polluting, sullying, tarnishing, or tainting something that is pure. That could be a lot of things. Okay? It could be a whole bunch of things. All right? Note that it also has some qualities. What do you think all the qualities here are of this specific contaminant? Does it seek your well-being? Does it care about you? Does that unequally yoked individual care about your benefits and your well-being, what God's intended for your life, the plans and purposes God has for you, the good things that God wants to pour out for you, or is it concerned about itself? See, that's what it always does. If you're having an idea of what it looks like, I'll tell you what it looks like. It cares more about itself than you. Okay? But here's the thing. It's never going to be obvious. Go back to my previous example. If you have some kind of disease going on in your body and you're unaware, you wouldn't even know unless a symptom shows. Okay? If a symptom pops up, now you might become more aware. But that could have been existing for years and you never know. You know why that is? Because the enemy, the liar, does not operate in obvious things. That's not his foray. He doesn't go, hey, I'm going to trip you by tying your shoelaces together. Watch me do this. Go ahead, walk. Who? He doesn't do that. He's sneaky. He operates in deception. So if you think that the things that you're looking for, the tact and the tricks of the enemy, and you're like, oh, I'm a super sleuth, I'm going to figure him out, I'm one step ahead of him. No, you're not. You're already deceived. Because you're busy trying to find him and not find God. You're busy trying to figure out what his game plan is than trying to figure out what God's plan is. He's got you already. That's how good he is. I'm not giving him credit, but please understand who you're messing with. When you go chasing after him, he's a sly fox, okay? He's crafty and cunning. He knows how to worm his way out of every situation. He knows how to deceive every situation. He knows how to lie. He knows how to cheat. He knows how to steal and rob and kill and destroy. That's his MO. That's all he thinks about. That's all he cares about. And he's been doing it for a very long time. His tricks aren't old. They're effective. You just got to know that's his business and stay out of it. Hence the mission. Because what happens if we actually grab hold of this original command to be holy, for he is holy? Do you think that the enemy's deceptive tricks and plots and all these things and evil he has planned for your life have any impact on you if you're holy? None. Because right here, The what used to be right here said something very key, that light has no fellowship with darkness. Darkness cannot penetrate light. It has no power over light. So it can't do anything to light. And if you are holy, you are in light, complete in light. So that means he's got nothing on you. He could try all day long, but it will not work. It will not have an effect. It loses every time. Hence why God gave the command. Because the thing that breaks his heart is watching us trip and fall because of the deceptions and the lies of the enemy over and over and over again. That's why he wants us to be holy. It's his way to get us free from the clutches of the devil. It's his goal. Because if we're free, not only are we free to operate, but we're free from any of the peltings. We're free from the abuse. And there's even more freedom in there, but that's a whole nother series of teachings. So in our pursuit towards this mission, you've been charged, okay? You all now have to make a determination. And it meant, now again, this is a team sport, right? So we're in it together, or somebody's bucking the system. Don't be that person. We have to agree that we want to complete the mission. We want to be holy. We want to be holy, church. We want to be holy. We have to want to be holy in order for us to do this. If you don't want it, then you're no different than anybody else out there. You're accepting deception in your life and allowing yourself to be deceived because of self-gratification, what you want. You're not okay with God's plan. You're only okay with your plan. Then why are you here? What's the point of being in Christ if you don't really want Christ? Why did you make the choice? He's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. He's a life changer. If you did sign up to get your life changed, he's going to change your life. That's his goal. He wants your life renewed. He wants your life changed. He wants you to be holy. He doesn't want you staying here because it breaks his heart. Because you're no different than the unchurched and unsaved who are out there who are denying him or saying that he doesn't exist. That breaks his heart. Because he loves all of his children regardless of the evil things they plot and plan against him. He still loves them. If you're not sure what that is, go read The Prodigal Son. That's God's love for even those who misbehave and don't line up with his precepts. He loves them that much. How much more love do you think he has for us who do obey and who do believe? Come on. It's bigger than you and me, right? If we truly desire to follow after Christ and become what God has intended us to be, it will come when we complete this very mission. By determining that we will follow through whatever the cost is to complete the mission, we've said that 1,001 times here at this church, count the cost, right? Okay? So be it. See, we either stay the same or we change. There is no middle ground. There's no gray area here. The difference between the two, hear me, okay, is one pays the cost willingly and the other one gets robbed endlessly. You get to choose. You lose it either way. See, the enemy's not going to let you have anything. That's not his goal. He wants you to suffer and wallow. He wants you in self-pity. He wants you consumed with everything that is of negative atmosphere that keeps you down, that keeps you from being effective for the kingdom. So he's emptying your pocket, left and right. You're walking away, he's pulling on the thread, watching you just go. Till all that stuff comes right out of your pocket. He's taken from you. He is stealing from you every day of your life. You can continue to let him rob you, or you can just pay the cost to God. I'll give you the pros and cons, okay? You will never get anything in your return if you let the enemy continue to rob you, because he's not interested in helping you out. He's not interested in making you a better person. He's not interested in helping you one iota, okay? None. You could be the last person on earth that needs a berry to survive. He's going to eat it in front of you. Facts. That's who he is. He's not helping you. But God, if you pay the cost, which is a simple cost that I believe most of us, if not all of us, have paid, you pay the cost, you give up your life, there's an exchange. He doesn't leave you orphaned. He doesn't leave you bankrupt. He doesn't leave you with nothing. He gives you his life in exchange. You got something in return for what you paid. You don't get that with the devil. Choice is not chance. Volition is not an exception to the law of causality. It is a type of causation. That is a quote. And think about that. Choice is not chance. If you choose to not make a choice, you've made a choice. By sitting and doing nothing, you've done something. Just keep that in your mind. As you pursue this goal and this mission towards holiness, if you're going, I'm just not going to do that, you've decided to do something. And guess what happens? The enemy's going to go, well, if you're not going to do something, I will. I'll take. You're not putting up your defenses. You're not protecting yourself. Free game. So what do we do with this? Where do we go from here? We understand this concept. We get where we're going. We have a mission. We have an objective. Let's do it, right? Come on, Dill. Therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything, say everything, that contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of God. This is 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. What great promises? All of them. Every single one you could possibly find in his word is yours. Every one. He gave them to you here, written down for you, so that you can bring it to remembrance when you need it, because it's there for you. That was part of that exchange, by the way. Why else did he give us all these promises? So you have assurance and certainty in a time of doubt and remorse. Anybody ever hear buyer's remorse? What is buyer's remorse? That's when you go and you spend hard-earned money that you worked for to buy a product. And then you get that product home and you go, well, that's not what I thought it was going to do. I didn't think it was how it worked at all. I mean, I saw in the commercials, like the Roomba. I saw that thing. That thing looks cool. I don't have to ever vacuum my floor again. Lies. If you have a cat, yes, you do. Because the cat's going to just ride on it, and every time it gets past the part, the tail's going to put more cat hair down. So it's going to be sitting there coasting around. You're going to think, what is this thing doing? I see the cat hair. Buyer remorse, right? Well, when you turn around and you decide that your life is in cruddy shape and you need help and you go to the cross and you are desperate. How many people were desperate when they came to the cross? You should have been. You should have been. You come to the cross, you're desperate for a change. And you go to the Lord and you ask, Lord, I need you. I give you permission. Because what I've done and created hasn't worked out. Did anybody get this? Because I got this. Are you sure? Are you sure? That's what I got when I went to the cross and I asked the Lord. He's like, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Because it stinks being the way I am right now. I don't like this. I don't like the way I am. I don't like who I am. I could be so much better. Okay. Count the cost. Because you're going to immediately, and most of us probably have, regret that decision. For the moment. Because what he takes away, you thought was precious. You thought was your world. You thought it was everything you needed in your life. And he goes, no, this isn't good for you. This is not helping you. This is hurting you. This is a contaminant that was put into you by your enemy, the devil, who is using this to keep you from being like me. He's using it to poison you. He's using it to corrupt you. He's using it to tear you down and destroy you from the inside out. That's not healthy. I need this. Oh, I'm sorry. Are your eyes bothering you? Excuse me. Take that eyeball out because it's causing you to sin. But I need that eye. No, you don't. No, you don't. You have another one. You're good. Seems harsh, but is that not what Scripture says? He is going to be dramatic and real. And yes, sometimes you might be sitting there going, well, I didn't understand that that was what you meant when you said you're going to change my life. I didn't know I was going to be a one-eyed pirate. I didn't know I was signing up for that, God. You know, we got to think about the things that God wants us to do. And, you know, we don't know what that exchange is going to look like when we come to the cross. We just know we don't like where we are. But he knows everything. He knows all of it. And so when we decide that we're going to that, there's a chance that that's the case. But that's why he gave us all of his promises, because he doesn't want us uninformed and he doesn't want us lacking. He wants us to know that I took this, but there's all of this that I have done for you. Where you have need or lack, God has provided. And he promises in every area of your life that he is sufficient. Every area. You just need to go find out what it is. If you're not reading and you don't know, then you might think God is very cruel. That's true. You might be there. Go dig. Go find out what he's saying. Go find out what he's provided for you. Especially in that area that you're feeling like God's not there. Oh, no. Yes, he is. Go find out what his promises are. Stop finding out about your condition. Start figuring out what God has taken away from your condition and what he's replenished with. What has he provided for you? Stop focusing on what he's taken away. Focus on what he's given to you. The enemy wants you fixated on what he's taken away. God wants you focused on him. Okay? And know, very importantly, that before you even came to that point, he knew your condition. He didn't go, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. You're a little too messed up for me. No, he knows your condition. He knew everything. So he knows your condition better than even you do. Okay? And he knew your condition before it became your condition. Like, you were born innocent. But he knew that at this point in your life, you're going to get this contaminant. And at this point in your life, you're going to get this contaminant. And at this point in your life, you're going to get this one, and this one, and this one. And by the time you get to me, it's okay. I am sufficient. I'll get rid of all of that. It's okay. But in order for us to understand how this is going to work, we have to be okay in totally accepting that God's main mission, being holy, is that we are going to have to cleanse ourselves. He has given us the ability to do it. It is our job to maintain it. Right? It's our job to maintain it. Okay? So when you see a contamination in your life, what do you do? Do you accept it? Do you welcome it? Do you allow it to continue to permeate? What happens when you have a little contaminant? I was going to do an object lesson. But if you put a little drop of food dye in a full bottle of water, what does that water become? It'll become the whole color, whatever it is. The more drops you add, the darker it gets. The bottom line is that it will permeate through every area. And that's what a contaminant's goal is. It's not to just sit in one little isolated spot. Although our body has a really good job of trying to do that. Thank you, Lord. Of isolating those problems. But contaminants want to spread. They want to consume. They want to take over. They want all of something. They're not satisfied with just their little area. And so if the enemy is placing a contaminant in your life, he's not doing it because he's satisfied with just a little nugget he put in there. He's got a future goal. That goal is that that contaminant spreads and spreads and spreads and consumes you. All the more reason we have to get clean. And sometimes they're not visible. Sometimes you can't see them. Sometimes they're there and you don't even know it existed. Well, what do I do about that one? How am I supposed to get clean with something I don't know? I don't know. I don't look dirty when I get a shower, but I still get a shower. Think about that. Do you go, oh man, yeah, I really need a shower. It's been 4 weeks. What? That's disgusting. No, I get a shower every day, sometimes twice. If I did a lot of extra work, I still get a shower. I need a shower to wake up. So I get a shower in the morning. If I went and did some yard work or whatever, like yesterday I'm mowing the lawn, when I get home, another shower. Is there such thing as being too clean? No, there isn't. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. You can't get rid of that bacteria. That's a dumb argument. Okay? When you're dealing with these things and being holy, we have to really get serious, church. We have to start recognizing that God is a serious God and he's got a serious business, right? That's why it says, right, what at the very end, and bring our consecration to completeness or perfection in the reverential fear of God. Don't forget who he is. Do not forget he has a plan and a purpose and a mission. He wants us to be a part of it. But if you're not serious as he is serious, you're going to find yourself as that branch that we talked about that's being pulled off of the tree because it's not submitted to the root. Can it be grafted back in? Absolutely. But God's very serious about this mission. He is very serious about our call to this mission, and he's very serious that we start getting on board with it ASAP. His word hasn't changed, but if you take a look around you, the world has. And if you are sitting there like I am, and I'm watching and seeing all these things come through and pop up and Facebook feeds and all this stuff, you know, and I'm just like, enough's enough. This world is going down fast. Can I do something about it? Yes, I can. I can be holy. I can be that light in darkness. That's what we're called to be. That's what his objective is. That's what he wants us to be. Why? Because that little bit of light will permeate and push back that darkness. And it spreads. There's a big goal here. To expect a mission of such high caliber from the highest command to not have any resistance is just folly. Please know, there's resistance, okay? The reality of the resistance is that it has been going on since the day you were created. Okay? Lies and deception to disqualify us from our objective. The enemy does not care what spot or wrinkle he gets on us or that we effectively have put on ourselves. Okay? He only cares that you're disqualified. He doesn't care. He uses shotgun ammo. He's got a better chance of hitting you. He doesn't care where he hits you. He just wants to make sure he's put a shot on you. Okay? That is why when Jesus poured out his blood on the mercy seat, he covered every spot, every wrinkle. There is not one thing that the enemy can plan, plot, or strategize against you that the blood of Christ did not cover. And he has done it all. He has completed it. It is done, okay? His righteousness in exchange for your corruption. If you can't see the purpose and pain that he went through on that cross, was not just because you could just get rid of your garbage for a period of time that was sufficient enough for you to feel better about yourself and then go back and roll in your filth and disgusting nature. That's why it says, do not make a mockery of this. It's serious business. God is very serious when he put his son on the cross so that all of this could be covered. He was dealing a death blow to the enemy. There's even more if you go in into the whole meaning of the hill and Gilgal and all that stuff. It's just, there's so much depth to that, to what God was seriously doing in making a mockery of everything that the enemy was attempting when Jesus went to the cross. He humiliated him and did something even more tremendous than just humiliating the enemy. But he redeemed the entire world. The entire world. God is that glorious. Amen. God is that glorious. Come on, church. Give him a clap. He is worthy. He is worthy. Amen. So here's your challenge as my sign off for this. There's still one more sermon coming for me this month, but this is the end of our journey. So your challenge, give it up. Give it up. Just put your hands up now. Everybody can just throw your hands up in the air. You're going to give it up. So what is it that contaminates you? What deceptions are in place to keep those contaminations coming? Who are you calling on to disciple you? Are you content with your discipleship? The real challenge today is how serious are you about getting serious about God? How serious are you? If there's something going on that you need to get rid of, right now, we're going to pray. Right now, give it up. Give it up. It isn't worth holding on to. It's a contaminant. It doesn't matter. It's not better than what God wants to give you in return. Amen? Amen. Lord, your people have their hands outstretched, reaching out, God, surrendering, giving up. Whatever it is, God, whatever it is that is keeping them from being set free, for being holy as you are holy, God. You have a plan and a purpose and a mission for their life, God. You have objectives. You have things laid out. You have great and wondrous blessings you want to pour out upon them, God. But you cannot if there is contamination, God. So right now, as they are giving it up, Lord, grab it out of their hands right now in Jesus' name, God. Let it be pulled out, God, cast down, gotten rid of, thrown into the pits of hell, God, so it never can come back again. And Lord, pour out your blood, pour out your tremendous blessings upon each and every one of them, God. Let them receive your fullness, everything that you are, complete in every way, God, to cover every need, whatever it is, God, that they feel that there's going to be lack in, God, supply it. Whatever they feel they're missing, God, fill it, God. Whatever it is that they feel they don't have, God, they now have in you. In Jesus' name, God, I give your people to you, God, to have your way with them. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen.